Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here we go with the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, just head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up over there. I think it was this morning. So swing on by there and check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. It'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. And you know the deal. You went all the way over there. You might as well go ahead and give that a like. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Well, all right, Dan, I saw, you know, as the clock is ticking down to the end of the collective bargaining agreement where we won't have any more player movement until they agree on a new deal, I've seen three signings so far today, a couple of relief pitchers. The Phillies have signed Corey Knebel. The Diamondbacks, this is kind of odd, but the Diamondbacks signed Mark Melancon, who was the Major League saves leader last year. And one that is probably the Mark Melancon that the Diamondbacks signed. The most important, the Dodgers are all set and ready. It hasn't become official yet, but they are actually going to re-sign Chris Taylor. So after losing a couple free agents, it looks like they're at least going to get one of them back. You know, Taylor was huge for them last year, playing all over mm-hmm. the field. Obviously, he's the biggest of the three signings today, right? And it looks like it's 4 years at $64
million. Not a bad deal.
So... but, yeah, it's interesting because, you know, Taylor actually played all three outfield positions, obviously left, center, and right, and he played second, short, and third over 148 games. You know, the only negative is the fact that he struck out a ton like everybody else in baseball, so you can't really hold that against him. But, you know, like I said, at least the Dodgers are going to hang on to somebody. And then, you know, of course, the jury is still out on Clayton Kershaw because he's still a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
So. But, yeah, how surprised are you that we didn't see Corey Seager or Max Scherzer re-sign with the Dodgers?
I was hugely surprised. You know, I did see a tweet where I actually just saw the notification, but it might be in this video here with the Mets introducing Max Scherzer. But a quote from Bob Nightingale tweeted, you know, Max Scherzer said, you know, us players are just kind of wanting to balance it out and keep every team competitive, not just the same ones. So you've got to imagine that was his motivation for leaving L.A.
No, I don't believe that at all. Do you?
No.
So, you know, I mean, that's a nice thought, but I don't think the players care at all about, you know, if that was true, wouldn't guys be signing with the Pirates and the Royals?
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, that's great. So, nice sentiment, but again, I don't buy that. I do wonder, you know, out of the signings today, You know, like I'm curious to see where Knebel's gonna fit in that Philly bullpen, which, you know, let's face it, has been a nightmare. I mean, he was really good for the Dodgers last year, but you know, injuries kind of limited him to 20 games. Do you think he could close again for them, or is he just too fragile?
I think he can close for them, but did you feel like it'd be for how long?
Yeah, I wonder, I'm not sold on him being the kind of guy that could go out there and pitch like 3 days in a row and get you three saves if you need it. You know, I mean, I'm not even sure about two. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, do you buy him as that kind of a reliever?
No, but at the same point, with the way the game is today, while you have your closer, not everybody plays that role. You know, it's almost like the bullpen is the bullpen, and while you may be the closer, you might be coming in the seventh inning a lot of times because they need to just stop what's going on then.
You know, with the way the Phillies bullpen is, yeah, they may need him in the fifth inning with the, you know, the way, you know, I mean, you just never know with that bullpen, even though they, you know, they've had guys here and there who pop up, and I know Hector Neris put up some save numbers for him, but he's now with the Astros. They signed him. I don't know. You know, this is just one of those ones where I look at and I'm like, well, it's interesting, but are they planning on having him close? And, you know, again, I just don't know if he can carry that workload. So, you know, I want to double check here, but, you know, yeah, he pitched, you know, like I mentioned, he pitched in 27 last year. 2020, he pitched in 15 games, and then in 2019, he didn't pitch at all because of injury. So he hasn't pitched in more than 50 games since 2018, back when he was with Milwaukee. You know, and that's when he started the year as their closer, and that's when Hader took the job from him. So, I mean, he's 4 years removed from being a legitimate closer. Mm-hmm. So I just don't know, you know, I mean, obviously I know they needed help, but I don't know if he solves the back end part of it. So, you know, and then I'm wondering if you could tell me what would possess a guy like Mark Melancon, who again led the majors in saves with 39, had a really good year with the Padres. You know, he's been a very competent closer throughout his career. What prompts him to take a 2-year deal from the Diamondbacks? You know, I mean, we're talking about a team that, you know, we go from the Padres that will likely contend. They might not get there, but would likely contend, to the Diamondbacks, who aren't going to win anything. I mean, may even be a 100-loss team. What prompts the guy to make that move? I mean, did he want to just get signed before the deadline?
I was going to say, was it the money? Was the money worth it?
You know, I'm looking here, and they don't have a salary figure. They just say it's a 2-year deal. So,
well, and, you know, if you think about it, because the one thing you didn't mention, and usually these are terms that are, you know, pretty prevalent when you announce the signing, is that it's not, there's no trade clauses. And, you know, who would be the team that would trade him? Obviously, would be the Diamondbacks. So, essentially, he's signing for a team that may not go where we'd want him to go, but he could do well enough for them that put himself in a good position to get traded to a contending team without having to decide right now. Or am I looking too many steps ahead?
You know, who knows? But here, I did find the deal. It's 2 years with a mutual option for a third. He gets $6 million in the 2 years of the deal, and the option is $5 million. So, yeah, and then there's a $2 million buyout if they don't pick up the option. So it's $14 million total over 2 years with the and then with the option. But, yeah, it doesn't say anything about a no-trade clause. So, yeah, it is always possible that, you know, he's just – he was signed as trade bait because that's not a bad salary for a quality reliever, $6 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, and, you know, I mean, obviously I don't want to be conspiracy theorist but or anything like that, but, you know, the Diamondbacks aren't a team that aren't – they've shown they're not afraid to make moves, you know, when they need to make them. And, you know, who knows who's going to be in a position to really make a run for it. And, you know, like you said, everyone always is going to need that bullpen help. So, you know, when they're 86 games in and they're, you know, 100 games under 500, over-exaggerating, of course, you know, he might be a great trade beat.
So, yeah, because, you know, just, I mean, you kind of, you know, you look at the Diamondbacks and, you know, obviously they have Ketel Marte, who's a really good player, and Pavin Smith had a really good rookie year. You know, Carson Kelly had some moments there. You know, David Peralta is, you know, David Peralta. But, yeah, you know, and I mean, they, you know, they did make the splash and sign Bumgarner last year. Didn't really go all that well. You know, Luke Weaver was pitching pretty good until he got hurt. So there are some positives, but, you know, again, you're looking at a team that's in the NL West, and that puts them a long, long way away from contending. So, you know, I'm just, I guess, you know, maybe that was his hope, is he's going to take the money there and then hope to get traded.
Hey, I would think at this point in his career, it's kind of hard to determine who's going to win. So,
yeah,
kind of roll your dice this way.
You know, and, you know, I guess you do wonder. I mean, we're talking about a closer who's 36, going to be 37 in March. So to get 2, possibly 3 years isn't really too bad, and maybe that's why he took it. It may have been the only multiple-year deal he had, right?
That's definitely quite possible.
So. But, yeah, so, you know, again, those were the, you know, the three signings from today. I don't know if we'll get any more. So we'll, you know, we'll just have to kind of wait and see how it goes until tonight, because they can sign, I think it's, what, up till midnight?
Yeah.
So. But, yeah, I haven't heard much on the, you know, I know the two sides met today. I didn't see too much come out of anything. I mean, have you heard anything about how negotiations are going or anything along those lines, anything anybody's looking for?
No, none of my sources have given me anything.
So. But, yeah, I'm just, you know, I mean, I'm sure, like, you know, I did see something where Major League Baseball proposed a 14-team playoff. I don't know how many teams are in the playoffs now, but
Well, isn't it, I'm trying to break it down, so six. Wait, what is it now?
Well, you have three division winners and two wild cards, okay. So it's 10.
10. So you're, I mean, how would that work? If you're,
I don't know. I didn't know.
You know, I mean, with that kind of result, wouldn't you be looking to break up the divisions again?
Yeah, I don't know. So
wouldn't you need an expansion?
Yeah, well, maybe that's part of the plan that we didn't hear, you know. Because I found some other things. You'll find this. Maybe you could go over some of these with me. Apparently, Major League Baseball has made three proposals already. Now, they don't say what one of these were in what proposal, but here's what they've got so far. The elimination of the current qualifying offer system, which would remove draft pick compensation attached to any free agent. A draft lottery similar to the one used by the NBA. The universal DH, which I know we're not surprised by there. An increase to the minimum player salary and an increase to the CBT threshold.
I mean, so kind of, I guess, the CBT right there, I mean, isn't that kind of a given? So the competitive balance tax was raised over the five, you know, in the last deal over 5 years to a new amount every single year. So you can propose it all you want, but I mean, I don't know. To that one on the owner's end, and to really kind of put that one out there is kind of like, meh. Well, you know, the players, the owners want to throw that out there to make it seem like they're going to spend more money and the players are going to get more money, but isn't that the whole point of it? So that one's kind of a given. I would throw the universal DH in the given column too. I mean, Big Jack, I don't know if you realize this, but I think we started this podcast about 10 years ago, and we've been talking about this for the last 10 years on the podcast, and that doesn't count, you know, you and I, just discussions in general before that. So it's a long time to hear about this and for it to finally be just kind of done and over with. You know, maybe not the way everyone wants to go, but even if they didn't go that way, just to know that it's done, you know, kind of like the Pete Rose thing. You know, you can't use it as a topic anymore because Manfred said he's not getting in. So it's done. It's over with. So I'm glad there's a finality to this. Well, I guess there isn't yet because it hasn't been agreed to. But I'm sure, like you said, this is happening next year. And I think it's a smart move. Not totally a huge fan of it, but the way the game is played today, though, I mean, it just makes more sense. And I think more so is because you and I watched pitchers actually hit a baseball as opposed to the guys that step to the plate that stay on the mound now. They don't hit a baseball. So it's actually become a waste of a spot if you think about it. And, you know, maybe that was the intention by design, you know, 30 years ago or 20 years ago. What were some of the other ones again? Where would you kind of see, like, the next couple that kind of sync up together or, you know, are similar?
Well, obviously, you know, the elimination of the qualifying offer is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no proposal if there would be something to replace it. But, you know, that's an interesting one. The draft lottery doesn't interest me. That's just, you know, garbage. That's just a TV show. That has nothing to do with any real, you know. Not having a qualifying offer system would make things, you know, a little more interesting, I think.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder because I think the whole having to give up the draft pick is actually, it hurts the player in that sense. I mean, we've seen a couple that had to sit out because of it. But it also hurts the team that has to give it up, because if you think about it, the way the qualifying offer is kind of treated, you know, we don't really want this guy, but we want the draft pick. So we're going to extend him the money that we know he's not going to take, and that you'll take it and I'll get your stuff. So it kind of is a, I don't know, for lack of a better term, a BS kind of rule that they have. You know, my only question with, like, the lottery, and like you said, yeah, it's just for TV. What does that mean? Does that mean, you know, where they went with a shorter draft this year, that there won't be 7,000 rounds anymore? I mean, I know the minor league system has been consolidated, so to speak, and I forget how, you know, you still got to fill that pool. You know, I wonder how that'll actually work out. And if it will actually draw TV ratings.
Yeah, there's no real, you know, I didn't see anything about how long the draft would be, how many rounds it would be. You know, it won't be the 100 and whatever it used to be. I think it wasn't last year, was it 5 or something, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I was very sure.
So, honestly, I think the thing I find the most interesting is the one thing that's not on here that I would have demanded as the players' union would be an elimination to the arbitration system the way it's set up.
Yeah, well,
but
didn't you say it was only the owners' propositions?
Yeah. Yeah, apparently from what I'm reading here is the union isn't in any urgency whatsoever to start negotiating because they feel they have 3 months to work this out.
Yeah.
Apparently the Players Association didn't even bring a new proposal. They just gave the same one they gave from May of this year.
Can you, Tony Clark? And that's interesting. You know, and maybe they were playing their hand. They really wanted to see what the owners were going to come back with or come to the table with. Because, you know, with that lottery draft, you've got to imagine that, like you said, there's got to be some kind of arbitration elimination or the way it's treated. Because, I don't know, it's hard to compare against the other sports, but, you know, I feel like the rules for the NBA, and it's definitely different in the NFL, their, you know, rookie year salary is kind of mandated or structured, so to speak, but it just seems like MLB kind of holds some of the young guys back from earning the money that they could at that young age and waiting 4 years.
Yeah, it's definitely different when it comes to baseball than it is with the other sports. But again, you know, baseball is really the only one with a tiered system. While the NBA does have the G League, it's not exactly a gigantic minor league system like Major League Baseball is. You know, I mean, there's four tiers if you count instructional league, you know, with Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that goes into it. I can kind of see where, you know, owners don't want to pay some 18-year-old kid millions of dollars, especially with the bust rate in baseball compared to other sports.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not super kind of going with the pay down there. More so it's the pay, you know, when they're up in the majors. But then again, you know, every player is developed differently. And, you know, Chris Bryant was getting his arbitration in the millions, or someone else with the same time period but not as good, so to speak, is still getting that league minimum or just over it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I have no problem with them raising the, the minimum salary, so...
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not too big of a deal. So,
Well, and I think it's much easier when the pool is kind of narrowed down, you know, and because you got to look at it, how many of these kids come into this system that never see the light of day in the major league system? And, you know, it's just for home's sake, the Cubs are paying, you know, the money for these kids that they never, you know, they never see in Chicago. You know, obviously they see them in Arizona.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you narrow it down, I think the whole point of the minor league is to really have guys that are going to be in your system and feed through the major leagues. And I think that's one of the downsides with the way the game is now, is that they're really just treated as chess pieces, no? Until they get to the major leagues. And then with that, I've got to take a 5 minute, so I'll be right back.
Oh, okay. So Dan is gonna go away. We did have some non-tendered players yesterday that are now officially free agents. A couple of the names you may recognize. Detroit had two left-handed pitcher Matthew Boyd and catcher Grayson Griner. Of course, you know, with the you know, with what Eric Haas showed last year in Detroit, and then the acquisition of Tucker Barnhart, there wasn't really a spot for Griner on the roster. So I, you know, not a huge surprise. The Rangers ended up non-tendering Billy McKinney after they had acquired him, and for a while there, it looked like he had a chance to start. So we'll have to see what happens there. Jumping over to the world champion Atlanta Braves, Johan Camargo and reliever Richard Rodriguez were a couple of the non-tenders there. The Marlins, technically Lewis Brinson was non-tendered. He was designated for assignment first after they acquired Joey Wendell in a trade, but he's gone. Humorously, I mentioned Robert Gesselman with the Mets yesterday. He was non-tendered, so he becomes a free agent. The Phillies non-tendered Roman Quinn, who for a while they were hoping would turn into one of their starting outfielders. The Brewers non-tendered Daniel Vogelbach. I just call him Dan, but they have him as Daniel here. You know, with the you know, again, the acquisition of Rowdy Tellez last year, who played really well for them, you know, that kind of filled the left-handed hitting first baseman spot. So Vogelbach is out there. The Cardinals non-tendered Jose Rondon, the former White Sox, who played really well for them. So that's a little bit of a surprise. The Cubs had two, Jason Adam, the relief pitcher, and Michael Hermosilla, the outfielder. No shocking things there. The Pirates had three that we actually saw play in the majors last year. Two pitchers, Stephen Brault and Chad Kuhl. And I'm a little surprised that Colin Moran is going to end up on this list. I thought he could develop into something, but I guess they feel obviously another way. So we'll see there. And then the Padres non-tendered Matt Strom, the left-handed pitcher. So there's some of the names, you know. There are a few more if you want to, you know, chase it down and look it up and see who else is on the list. But those are names that, you know, I remember seeing play in the majors last year. So hopefully it will, you know, it just kind of adds to the free agent pool. And here you go. There are some more players out there for teams to take a look at and sign. And, you know, last year the Cubs non-tendered Kyle Schwarber in what has to be one of the stupidest moves in team history after the year he had. But let's face it, when you get a bad franchise, they do stupid things. And welcome to Chicago, because that's what the Cubs do. So, but while Dan is off here, let's take a look at the NHL and the NBA schedule for the evening, as long as my internet wants to pop up here and help me out, because as you know, I've mentioned it numerous times that it doesn't like to help me when I want it to. So we shall see. All right, the NHL, we have the Philadelphia Flyers at the New York Rangers, the Colorado Avalanche at the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Vancouver Canucks are at the Ottawa Senators, the Seattle Kraken are at the Detroit Red Wings, the Pittsburgh Penguins are at the Edmonton Oilers. That's the TNT game tonight. And then we have the Las Vegas Golden Knights at the Anaheim Ducks. So you can get in there and check out one of those games if you want to catch the Penguins and the Oilers, who are one of the better teams there. They're on TNT for you tonight. Here's what the NBA has for you. The Atlanta Hawks are at the Indiana Pacers. The Denver Nuggets are at the Orlando Magic. The Minnesota Timberwolves are at the Washington Wizards. The first game on NBA TV tonight has the Philadelphia 76ers at the Boston Celtics. We'll have the Cleveland Cavaliers at the Miami Heat. The Charlotte Hornets are at the Milwaukee Bucks. We got the Dallas Mavericks at the New Orleans Pelicans. I haven't seen if Zion Williamson is going to play tonight, but I know he was close to returning. The Houston Rockets are at the Oklahoma City Thunder. I didn't want to say that there. And then the second game on NBA TV tonight features the Sacramento Kings at the Los Angeles Clippers. So there you go. There's your NBA schedule. And we did have some interesting news. Apparently, LeBron James is in health and safety protocol. And I haven't seen if it's official yet, but I guess he could miss up to 10 games. You can also add Damian Lillard to the guy who's going to miss some games, as he has an ab injury, and he's going to be out for at least 10 days. Then you can throw in Bam Adebayo of the Miami Heat, who's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. He is having surgery on a torn ligament in his right thumb. So we got some big-name NBA guys that are going to miss some time. You know, if you're a fantasy player or whatever you got, you better check that out. And then the one, they haven't said if he'll miss any time yet, but Devin Booker exited the Phoenix Suns last night against the Warriors with a hamstring injury. So we'll have to look into that, keep up with that, and see how that's going. So you'll have to adjust your fantasy lineup accordingly, Dan.
Yeah, fortunately, I don't think I have any of those guys on my team. But did you hear LaMelo Ball already announcing his post-retirement plans the other night?
Oh, no, I didn't want so.
You know, he had, sure, a little issue on the court, and he told them that when he's done balling, he's going to become a ref and show them how it's done. So.
Oh, yeah, I don't think anybody believes that's going to happen, do they?
It would be funny, though, if 20-plus years from now, Melo Ball is a freaking referee. You never know. He might do it just to do it. But I don't know if he could just be let in like that. But, you know, the celebrity games, you know, that stuff. But, no, I just thought that was funny. It's great trash-talking, and, you know, the clip I saw, I don't understand why the stadium was that quiet that you could hear him clearly say it. So I don't know if that was just the sound engineers doing a really great job of taking out all the background noise for you to hear Melo say that. So I thought it was pretty comical.
I know Daddy was upset because he got benched for trying a highlight reel dunk that he missed, and it cost his team. So he got benched, and I know Daddy was all upset about that and trying to make waves in the media again, but didn't give him but a little blurb this time. So
yeah, you know, I honestly feel like his 15 minutes has definitely ran out, and
and
I think part of it is the fact that his kid's talent is just actually worth watching, and nobody really cares to watch what he's going to do or what he's going to say anymore. You know, he did a great job. I mean, if you think about it, he did. Now he needs to just shut up and sit back and take the ride. But he did a great job. You know, he did everything he needed to do for those boys to really get them set up and pushed into the mainstream media. And, you know, Lonzo was drafted, Melo. I'm not saying he would be a spectacular NBA player, but getting arrested and then, you know, being pulled off that college team and whatnot, I think that really hurt his chances. And he should be in the NBA too, but, you know, that was his own dumbass fault for that one.
He's not that good. He was good enough to play in the league. They would find a spot for him in the league. He's just not that good.
Yeah. But, you know, and I wasn't going to say a star, you know, kind of one of the extra men on the team. And I think he hurt himself by doing that. But, again, you know, I think Lonzo's definitely shaped up his career, and he's looking great here in Chicago. LaMelo just came in and stormed it. And with that, you know, no one cares what LeVar, yeah, he has to say anymore. His time ran out.
Yeah, it's clear now that they're in the NBA that nobody cares about his opinion. So it's just kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever, shut up. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, circling back, so we ended up with kind of talking about the arbitration clocks thing for Major League Baseball and, you know, the NBA draft style. Was that the end of the list of what was supposedly
That was it.
Proposed? Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know if there was a little bit more.
Yeah, no, that was it. That was the only stuff that was mentioned. So
I just want to know when the rule change or the rule fix of the instant replay is going to come into play.
Yeah, you know, I'm waiting for the more, fun stuff, like when are we getting robot umpires and, you know, those kind of
things. Well, do you mean a real robot umpire or... Or just the, the screen.
I would take either or at this point, you know.
Yeah, and I think what makes it so much more needed is the fact that you can't argue balls and strikes. We all know that. It's been known for the longest time. But, you know, the pitcher, the catcher, the batter, and the managers always seem to find a way to argue it, and in the name of speeding up the game, Big Jack, it's a huge delay. And if a computer that knows the strike zone called it like it is, there's really nothing to argue about. I mean, how many times did we see that this postseason where a ball is clearly out of the zone and it's strike three? And we're watching someone walk back to the dugout where now it's, you know, with one, two outs and two guys on, or, you know, the end of the inning. You know, I've seen balls go right in that zone, and even the announcers, you know, at first are like, well, you know, maybe it was a little bit outside, and they're like, nope, that was clearly a strike. You know, I think when you get to a certain point, you know, you got to do something about it. It's 2022. That's like you said, let's get the fun things going. I don't know. I just think, and I hate to, like, beat a dead horse, but, you know, Manfred's whole thing was speeding up the game when his M.O. for so long. But I feel like the measures he's taken didn't do literally anything, and the things that could help speed it up just doesn't even recognize.
Yeah, I don't see the game as being any faster, do you?
No. No, there's literally no change in the game. You know, and that's the other part, speeding up the game with this whole, you know, strike them out or home run type deal, the way the game is played. You know, we were at the White Sox-Cubs game. I went to two Sox games this year, the White Sox-Cubs game. I think we ended up leaving in the seventh inning, roughly the seventh inning, because it was already 10:30. And, I mean, we're talking like, I think it was like a fifth, I don't know, the White Sox were, I don't remember who won actually, but it was like, there was like 15 runs on each side. You know, it's barely the seventh inning, and we're leaving because it's 10:30, and we know we'll have crabby kids the next day. You know what I mean? Where a month later, we went to a game, it was the White Sox and Tigers, it was a low-scoring game, and 10:30, the game was already over, we were already on the expressway driving home. You know, so you can't sit there and tell us you want to speed up the game and then get everything centered around hitting and scoring big runs, which actually makes the game go longer. Because then the manager's switching pitchers more often. And let's be honest, Big Jack, do you really think it's made that big of a difference by having the pitcher pitch to three guys?
No. You know, and obviously the pointing intentional walk didn't make any difference either.
No. But that one I really can't argue with. You know, let's just get it over with. Send them over.
Yeah.
But
I mean, obviously, at least that one makes sense. But the fact that they thought it was going to speed up the game was just laughable.
So we still hold on to the old tradition where the relief pitcher comes in after sitting in the bullpen for 30 minutes throwing the ball, still comes in and throws about 10, 20 pitches to warm up on the mound. That part of the game isn't set up.
At least with that, you could say that the mounds could be different. You know, the game mound is going to feel a little different than the bullpen mound. So by giving them a few pitches, at least they can, get a feel for the mound.
Okay, so why aren't the bullpen mounds the same as the game mound?
Oh, I think it's just conditional, you know. it's difficult to get everything the same like that. You know, that would be like saying every mound in every stadium should be the exact same, and you just can't do it.
No, you can't do that, but if you're telling me that you can't have three mounds that are the same in the same stadium.
Well, it would have to be five.
You know,
no,
five.
No way.
There's no way.
You know, everything is always just a little different, you know, no matter what it is. I mean, you know how pitchers are. You know, the smallest thing could set them off.
Yeah.
So, you know, by giving 10 pitches or 8 pitches or whatever, you know, it gives them the opportunity to go out there and look at the mound. And, I mean, that's not such a huge deal compared to some of the other things.
Yeah. But, no, it still adds, you know, doesn't slow down the game any, you know, or speed it up anymore.
No. But, you know, that's not a killer, you know, oh, God, this is going to, you know, destroy the game. So.
Well, I guess you win this round.
So many things. I mean, let's face it. What's the one thing that takes the longest in Major League Baseball that shouldn't? Replay?
Yeah.
It's still the weirdest thing that you and I can watch a replay on a video screen and see the call and know what it is and what it should be, and yet they take 10 minutes in New York on a monitor to figure it out. Explain that one to me.
No, and that's the one I don't understand, can't figure out why it takes so long. you know, they posted on the video board at live, and the entire stadium is like, all right, he's safe. But yet, you know, they're still sitting around waiting another 3 minutes while these guys talk about their dinner plans on the headset, you know.
Exactly. So, you know, just one of those things. You know, it's like, hey, what are we waiting for?
No. So, but, and I think what you and I both hope for is the negotiations just to happen, be done with, and be over with. Let's get it done, guys.
Yeah, I hope these things go cool. I don't want to see it drag out. And, you know, I am a little, you know, and I know everybody wants to blame the owners, but again, you know, today it was the players' union that didn't bring a proposal. They just kind of showed up and listened. You know, and like you mentioned, maybe that was their strategy, but, you know, they're like, well, you know, it's, you know, we've got 3 months to work this out. I hope they're smart enough to realize we can't have a delay. You know, spring training has to start on time. The season has to start on time. Fans aren't going to give them any more breaks. You know, and obviously you can't pump guys up on steroids and have a home run derby because that's illegal now. So you can't do Sosa Maguire. So, but, you know, what can they do? You know, and we, you know, and again, like we always, you know, I don't want to sit and listen to a millionaire's fight with billionaires. So, you know, that's just kind of how it goes.
Yeah, but I got billions, and you have millions, so you're beneath me.
Yeah. I don't have either. Unless I'm missing something somewhere. So yeah, I don't care, and I don't want to listen to you cry about your money. No.
But it's my money, and I want it now.
Take it, you know. So, hopefully a lawsuit for that, you know, or some kind of settlement for that. Yeah. You know.
At least you got the reference. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, I used to see the commercial all the time. So.
Yeah. So, like I said, just hope they can kind of get it together and figure it out. And, you know, again, MLB needs to remove blackouts because nobody wants that anymore. You want to black out the ESPN games, I get it, because it's the Sunday Night Baseball. Those ones, you know, yes, I'll sacrifice, unless someone like the Big Jack will give me a password, then I can watch it. But, you know, I get those. You want to do the national televised games, I get that. But just blocking us out locally, it just, you know, breaks my heart.
Well, this is cool. And I'm not sure if you remember this, because this was 1983 when he won this award, but Lamont Boyce, who won the 1983 American League Cy Young of the month of the White Sox, died today.
How old?
Huh?
I didn't hear how old.
66.
Oh, I think he said 56.
So yeah, he wasn't too old. You know, I know he had some issues after he left the game. You know, he had some drug issues or some type of problem like that. Hopefully, he managed to work all that stuff out before he, you know, at his age. But you do never know. So. But yeah, he had that, you know, he had that one fantastic year with the White Sox. You know, he was really, really good. I want to see if I can grab his stats here from that year and let everybody know just how well he pitched. I believe they won the division that year as well. Yeah, well, here you go, Dan. First thing first, he made 36 starts, which is absurd in today's game. Even odder, 11 of them were complete games. He went 24-10 with a 3.66 ERA. So
that's not bad, actually.
That's what won the game back then.
I mean, you don't even get two pitchers to have 36 starts sometimes.
Yeah. And then in just a little bit of an odd trivia here, when the White Sox traded him to the Padres, one of the players they got in return for him was Ozzie Guillen. So.
Yeah, that's how it always works out, right?
Yeah. But, yeah, ended up having kind of a relatively short career, only pitched in 8 major league seasons. But he was 98-68, so he had a really good winning percentage, career 3.99 ERA. So, and then even managed to win an All-Star Game MVP in his career.
Oh, was he a hitter, too? Sorry.
No, he didn't hit. It was the All-Star Game, not the MVP award. So.
Oh.
Yeah, 66 years he passed away today. So just because he was a White Sox, I threw that out there. No other real reason to talk about him in that kind of situation. But it's still sad. You always hate to see it happen, but unfortunately, it happens to everybody eventually. Yeah, and I was laughing. I don't understand this one at all, Dan. I clicked on the ESPN website because they had breaking news, and their breaking news is MLB lockout intimate. Talks end after 7 minutes. Didn't we know all along there was going to be a lockout? I mean, did anybody believe they were going to come to an agreement before this one expired?
When you live in fantasy land.
Yeah, I mean, how is this breaking news? You know, they've been talking about it all day on the MLB network that the lockout's been expected for basically since the start of this season, right?
Yeah.
So. But, yeah, here I thought they had something good, and they lured me in with, like, clickbait to get me to click on the site because I thought they had breaking news. We could wrap up the podcast. But they just jerked me around for something I've known about for
you fell for it again.
Yes, I did. But here, this will be something that'll excite you a little bit. You know, I know you for this. The Cubs are apparently being reported to be in serious talks with starting pitcher Marcus Stroman. The projection of the deal would be 5 years and $110 million. Does that excite you?
Yeah, that's a nice frugal gourmet, right? Kind of pick, move.
Yeah, well, you know, Stroman's been one of those guys, he's been looked at as a top pitcher for years, and for whatever reason has never really kind of broken through the steel. You know, he's never won more than 13 games in a year. Last year with Pep, he was 10-13. ERA was 3.02, so that was credible. He did make his starts. He made 33 starts, which is a miracle in today's game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least, you know, if bring him in, maybe they could get a guy who could give him starts some innings along with Kyle Hendricks. But for his career, he's only 61-60. So he hasn't won it. But yeah, everybody seems to think that he's a big time guy, and you need to bring him in. I mean, he's He'll be 31 in May 1st. So 5 years he'd be here till he's 30, 35, 36. I mean, is that what you want to see? Is that what Bill starts with Marcus Stroman?
Well, I mean, when your pitchers are over 30, all your hitters have to be 23. So I don't think I've ever seen this happen before in this system. You know, at the end of the day, right now, if you're going into the season with that deal, and you're a Cub fan, well, I'm not pre-buying my tickets because I want to know when Stroman's pitching because, well, it's about all we've got to look forward to, right?
Yeah, I mean, they did add Wade Miley, who's a competent starter. Obviously, mm-hmm. they still have Kyle Hendricks, who I don't know if the pressure of being the number one guy got to him or if it was just that he was for a bad team, but he didn't have a very good year. You know, after that, I mean, the pickings are thin. I mean, we were promised that Advert Azalea was going to be a starter, and he wasn't. That leaves you with, what, Alec Mills and Justin Steele? That excite
yeah.
you?
No, and that's what I mean by kind of guy picking your games around the starting pitching. You know, that's what they did. They gave you – they're doing what they've traditionally done, and that's sign a name just to get some interest and get some fans in the stands. But I feel like we're going back to the old Sam Zell days where that's all you did. You know, you got the fans in the stands, you made the money, and who cares if we even make the playoffs? So,
yeah,
you know, and that's kind of what I feel
like. You
know
that the fans are going to show up regardless.
Exactly. So, you know, they did the thing where they've got two pitchers that you're going to buy tickets to go see, Marcus Stroman and Kyle Hendricks. And the other guys, if, you know, you happen to be there, well, that's just you happen to pick those games. You know what I mean?
Well, if they end up signing Stroman, too. I mean, there's no guarantee that that's
yeah.
where he's going to go. So.
No, I forgot about that. But, and you know, like you said, even with his numbers, this guy wouldn't really be a hot topic 20-some years ago.
Yeah, no, he's looked upon very highly by everyone, but he hasn't really performed, at least in my eyes, to the level of
no.
where he's going to be.
No, and you can have that expectation or that hope or whatever you want to call it 4 years ago. If we were talking about this deal 4 years ago, I'd definitely be a lot more excited about it. You know, not obviously without knowing the current standings, but 4 years ago we're talking about this Marcus Stroman deal, I'd been all over it.
So yeah, I mean, obviously it would still be an upgrade to the rotation,
mm-hmm.
you know, just looking at what they got, it's terrible. But I mean, it's not going to get them out of fourth place, is it?
No. And that's why I think it's really not that exciting.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go home on that one then.
SportsTimeRadio.com.